everybody, and welcome to the third episode of the Mountain Man Dan Show. This show is going to be a little bit different, just me here today. On the last episode, Nick and I got to talking about the negligent discharge that I had, resulting in a self-inflicted gunshot wound. That's always been an interesting topic of conversation, and I figured a couple people have asked about it, so I'm going to go ahead and get on here and tell you guys the whole story, and some of the ways that it could have been avoided. As bad as I hate to admit this, I've actually had two negligent discharges. The first one was when I shot myself, and the second one was while working on a firearm and was 100% avoidable and was 100% me being stupid and doing something where I knew better than to do what I did, but I did it anyway. Not proud of either one of these moments, but it learning experiences, and I'm hoping that if I tell the story, somebody else will be able to learn from my mistakes. You know, I've been around guns my whole life and was the last person to expect, you know, to shoot myself, but here we are. So, negligent discharge number one was with a Rossi Model 92 lever-action carbine chambered in .454 Casull. And we were in South Texas. We were hunting hogs. I had just started a new job down there, and I was supposed to start work the next morning. And one of my buddies stopped by and said, "Hey, you know, you want to go shoot some hogs?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm down to go shoot some hogs. You know, I don't know when I'll have a day off of work again. So let's go shoot some hogs." So we load up in the truck and we take off and we go out and we find us some hogs. And it's, you know, we shoot a couple. And it's just before dark and we see this one pretty good-sized boar feeding down at the feeder. And my buddy's got a Remington Model 788 and .308 Winchester. And he takes a shot at this boar, probably about a 150-yard shot. And, you know, a good solid hit, and the boar runs off into the brush, and then it's dark. It's like, you know, that sunset's pretty fast down there in Texas. So, knowing what I know now, you know, hogs being a pest in Texas, I probably wouldn't have went into the brush after it, but I was fresh into Texas, fresh out of Alaska. I'd been in Texas for about 2 weeks. And here in Alaska, if you shoot something and it runs off in the brush, you go find it. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a moose, bear, caribou, whatever. You shoot it, you go find it, and make sure it's dead. So I insisted that we go in the brush after this. My buddy had a little LED headlamp. And I believe it's been a few years. I think it happened in 2012 or 2013. So I believe I was in the front when it happened. And I was, we were in the brush, and I could hear the hogs running around. And, you know, being from Alaska, I'm used to bears. So if you hear them, you know, if they're that close to you, you know, you put a round in the chamber. So I put a round in the chamber on the .454, and I dropped the hammer down on it, sitting on the firing pin. And we're going through the brush, and the brush is real thick, and we're down low, climbing through the brush, and I stood up to turn around and hand him the headlamp, and I stood up, and I'm left-handed, and I dropped, so I had the gun in my left hand, panned through the through the lever, around the pistol grip, trigger finger alongside the trigger guard. And I stood up, and I just let the muzzle of the gun drop and point down towards the ground. And when I swung to turn around and hand him the headlamp, the brush caught the hammer on the gun, and it cocked it back. And it didn't cock it back enough to actually cock it, but it cocked it back enough for the gun to go off. So, you know, we're in there in the brush, and boom! And that was the beginning of a rather long night. At first, I didn't even know I shot myself. You know, it felt like somebody smacked my foot with a hammer and then nothing. No pain. I'm walking around, everything feels fine. And, you know, I looked down, there's a little nick in the side of my, I was wearing a pair of rubber boots, and there's a little nick in the side of one of my boots. And I was like, oh, you know, that bullet must have just barely nicked the side of my boot. You know, I'm good, we're okay. We find the hog, we dispatch it, we cut some tusk out of it, and we start heading back to the truck. And we get a little ways, and it's not too far, it was a little ways, and there's a little creek we had to cross. And when I come up the other side of the creek, I could kind of feel the inside of my boot felt wet. So I was like, crap, you know, when that bullet nicked the side of the boot, it must have just cut the boot just enough. It's not holding the water out anymore. So I took the boot off to kick the water out, and it was, you know, it wasn't water, it was blood. So that ended into a long night. We went to the, you know, went home. My plan was, Craig was a cattle rancher, and my plan was to have him go get one of his penicillin shots he uses for the cattle, and take a little bit of that and wrap it up and call it good. Convinced my wife this was a good idea. And Craig went back to get the shot, and his wife was a nurse, and she wasn't having any of it. And then it was Craig, his wife, and my wife against me. I got a bullet hole in my foot. I'm not going anywhere. So turned into, you know, we went to the first hospital, and then they weren't equipped for gunshot trauma. And I ended up going to Austin, Texas, spent the night in Austin, and it was a very expensive ordeal, about $16,000 in medical bills, and especially since they had me ride the ambulance from Luling to Texas. That was like an $8,000 ambulance ride from Luling, Texas to Austin, Texas. Turned out the bullet, when it went through the top of my foot, it went right between the toe bones in my left foot. Right at the joint. The joint spread open, let the bullet through, and that was the end of it. You could poke a pencil through my foot, but there was no broken bones. It was just a flesh wound. You could poke a pencil through it, and that was the end of it. But even though I got very lucky with having been shot, it was still 100% avoidable. There was a lot of things that I could have done to make it not happen. There was... The rifle itself had one of those little flip safeties on top, and even though that's a pain in the ass, that little flip safety on the top of the bolt, I could have used that. What's been curious to me is most of the lever-action rifles that I've been around, Winchester, Marlin, whatever, is they have a safety half-cock, and after having shot myself, I checked this rifle, and it didn't seem to have it. I never took the hammer out, but just playing with it, the hammer would not catch there. So I'm not sure if because it had the cross or the safety on the bolt, if it didn't have a half cock, or if when the hammer dropped down onto that half cock, it broke it out. I didn't keep the rifle very much longer after that. I had a lot of medical bills to pay, and my gun collection was reduced to pretty much zero. Actually, it was reduced to zero. I sold all my guns trying to get medical bills paid off. But yeah, there's things that I could have done to avoid that. You know, if I had a round in the chamber when I went to turn around in the brush, I could have put my thumb over the back of the hammer and pressed it forward, you know, towards the gun or into the bolt to keep it from being able to be cocked back. I could have, you know, crack the lever open just a little bit so that the you know, the trigger wouldn't work. I could, there was a million things that I could have done, including being much more careful about where the muzzle was pointed. It was a bad situation. It's not something I'm proud of. I did learn from it. I'm much more careful now, and I'm a million times more aware of where my muzzle direction, you know, where the muzzle was pointed. It was something stupid that I did, and it was 100% avoidable. It would have, you know, there's so many things that I could have done to keep that from happening. Second negligent discharge I had was with a model 820 Stevens, but it was a Stevens pump action 12 gauge, and I picked this gun up really cheap because it wasn't working right. And one of the issues it had is that it wouldn't feed at all. And so I was in my gun room. We had a two-bedroom or two-story house at the time we were living in. And I was in one of the upstairs rooms, bedroom that I can build with my gun room. And I was up there working on a shotgun, trying to get it to feed. And this was complete stupidity on my part. 100% dumb. If I could slap myself, I would 1,000 times for this. So I was up there working on getting this gun to feed, right? And I got rounds in the tube, and I didn't have any 12-gauge snap caps, so I was using live ammunition to test the feeding function. And, you know, I could have made some dummy rounds, I could have went and bought some snap caps, but no, I'm in too big of a hurry, I want to get this thing working, so I'm using live ammunition. And the Stevens pump action 12-gauges like that, they are slam fires. If you hold the trigger back and you run the bolt forward or run the slide forward, it will go off. And since it wouldn't feed, I hadn't fired it, so I didn't know that the trigger return spring was broken and it was not returning the trigger. So it was just holding the trigger back. So no dumbass me, I run around into the, you know, I put a couple rounds in the tube and I'm sitting there screwing around with the cartridge lifter, and I put it all back together, and I go to run a shell into it, and I'm watching, you know, I'm running the shell in real slow, and I'm watching it, and right when the bolt locked up, you know, I watched the shell went up into the chamber, and watching it, bolt locked up, boom! And, you know, this time I had the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. It was, well, as safe as it can be in a house. It was pointed at the ceiling. So I blew a hole about 3 inches around in the sheetrock ceiling in my gun room, because my wife came running upstairs, freaked out that I shot myself, and I hadn't. But that one was just that second negligent discharge was 100% on me. I was complete stupid to be using live ammunition to function test a firearm, especially indoors. You know, I could have made up some dummy shells. I had 12-gauge reloading equipment. I could have made up some dummy rounds without primers and powder. I could have, you know, went and bought some snap caps. I could have, you know, like I could have went out and shot the gun beforehand, just single feeding it to know, oh, the trigger is broken on this thing. But I didn't, and I was stupid, and I got in a hurry trying, oh, I want to work on this project. You know, I'm bored, but I want to work on this instead of doing things the right way. I did things the stupid way and ended up blowing a hole in the ceiling of my house, which wasn't a fun time. I had to, you know, had to get that fixed, and it wasn't real funny. And that's the case with most negligent discharges. There are mechanical failures of guns that do happen. They're a lot rarer, but they do happen. Like that Rossi lever action. I don't know if that half cock notch got broken when the hammer dropped on it, or if it just didn't have it. If it broke, that would have been a mechanical failure. I've heard of Glock pistols, you know, but get shot a lot, or people put different strikers in them, and the strikers not holding on the trigger. You know, that's a fire, you know, mechanical failure that can result in a discharge. But most accidental are due to the user. Most accidental discharges or negligent discharges are due to the shooter. Both in my case were 100% completely avoidable. The second one was due to complete stupidity and, you know, getting in a hurry and being a dumbass. But, you know, hopefully, you know, I learned my lesson doing it, and I'm hoping that, you know, by telling this story, that maybe it'll keep somebody else from making the same mistakes, plural, that I made. You know, they say as you play with snakes enough, you're going to get bit, and I don't know that I 100% believe that with the gun world. I believe that if you're stupid and you don't pay attention to what you're doing, you'll get bit. Accidental and negligent discharges are normally and usually avoidable. And from experience, I would recommend trying to avoid them. But other than that, there's not really anything to talk about today. Just wanted to share those stories. Hoping that maybe somebody will hear them and it'll make their life a little better. Hoping that they will try to learn from my mistakes. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. The Mountain Man Dan Show is hosted by Daniel Congiolosi and co-hosted by Nick Sims. We are not affiliated or sponsored by any company, so any opinions that you hear of any company, products, or people heard on this show is our honest opinion due to our experience with companies or people. If you'd like to follow Nick or I can be found on Facebook as well as Instagram and YouTube. The Instagram and YouTube handles are The Shooter's Apprentice, and Nick can be found on Facebook as well as Instagram at Nick6GunSims. We'd like to thank you for tuning in, listening to our show. We appreciate everybody taking time out of their day to listen. We hope you continue to listen, subscribe to the show, look us up on the other social media platforms, and we will see you on the next episode.